98% pure potato.
98%
pure potato. Hello, Happy New Year, and welcome to 98% Pure Potato, the podcast. This is John Griffiths here. Now, in the last podcast, I gave notice that I was wandering away from the theme of the podcast, which has been about the book 98% Pure Potato. You've got something like 20 plus podcasts there already talking about the book, so there's lots. So rather than try and string you out, actually I didn't think I'd get more than 4 or 5 in, so it's kind of interesting how much there is to talk about with the book. But you should have enough either to make up your mind to buy and read the book, and if you've read the book, I think it'll give you an awful lot of resources to enjoy it. But what I thought I'd do in the new year was to set out and talk about other books that I've got in the works. There's been the odd inquiry asking why it is a book and why it can't be a website or a blog or something like that. Well, I've blogged about some of these topics before, and the danger is they get lost. So to put them in a form where people can order them, possibly even pay a quid or two for them, would be nice. So that's what I'm proposing to do. And there's nothing like setting oneself a deadline of writing every day, which is what I'm trying to do. And using this in tandem with a podcast means that rather than burble away about something I'm intending to write about, I can talk to you about what I have written about. So hopefully you'll find that informative, and it will raise your curiosity about what the finished book might be like. So in this first one, I'm going to talk to you about this workshop technique of brand screenplays, which I developed a long time ago. If you search on the WARC website, you can find it in an old issue of ABMAP magazine, probably about 2003, was it? I mean, that's how long ago it was. So I really do need to get it slammed down and out so that people can find out more about the technique and start to use it themselves. So that's what writing this down has been all about. Let me explain how I got to the point where I started looking at the idea of screenplays and also archetypes without getting too theoretical about it. I was a few years before this working at Grey Integrated, which did an awful lot of work on brand consulting, and it was a great way to win new business as well. And we did it for all sorts of clients, and I really enjoyed it. There was a catch though, that because we were an integrated agency, even though developing a brand character in some detail was really helpful, it focused the team, it certainly brought the agency together with the client, the basic problem was that when you came to apply it in integration terms, that's to say, not just in advertising, but in terms of design, staff culture, recruitment campaigns, retention campaigns, sales events, we had to do the work of translation all over again. The brand work we'd done simply wasn't doing the trick. And that made me look a lot more deeply at what we were doing when we looked at brands. And the reason why I fastened on screenplays was because when you have a character in a movie storyline, you have conflict. You have character development. That's what the whole concept of a film is about. It's not just special effects. It's not just a setting. There is a drama with a character or two or three at the center of it, and these characters develop. Although by this stage, virtually every agency in London of any size had its own trademark method for developing brand thinking. These, if you weren't careful, were what David Taylor, who wrote The Brand Gym, calls polishing the brand pyramid. They were internally focused. They almost always involved marketing specialists sitting with advertising specialists who would sit around and they'd theorize using these abstractions to come up with what would turn out as a brand essence or a brand onion or whatever particularly schematic we trademarked and decided no one else was allowed to use, though I never ever heard of anyone actually taking anybody else to court for doing it. So this way of developing brand thinking, almost always finished by someone saying, well, we have to be very careful who we share this with because they won't understand it because they weren't in the room. So the very thing which was supposed to be about defining and disciplining the values of what a brand was to stand for was so abstract, was so detached from everyday living that you couldn't actually put it on a sheet of paper and give it to people because you'd have to present it to them and it would take at least an hour to present it to them because it was so damn complicated. There was something wrong with that. But going back to the screenplay thing, the other weakness in it was that it treated the brand as if it simply was by itself. Almost always, without exception, the personality included an adjective which said the personality was intelligent. Well, intelligence is not a personality aspect to start off with. And funnily enough, all the brand characters, all the brand essences said something about intelligence because that was how either the client wanted to feel about themselves or they wanted their customers to feel about themselves. And the thing that we were never able to do was to go, well, where are the characters of all the competitor brands? Because if they're saying exactly the same thing, then basically we're not saying anything about our brand. We're making some kind of aspirational statement about the entire category. So it seems to me the first thing that an exercise when you're developing a brand has got to think about is, what are the values which are generic to the category, without which I don't think a razor is going to be any good, or a pint of beer, or skin cream, I don't know. What are the things which are shared with the entire category, which may have been developed by the category builder or the category leader, but which actually, without which, no brand is able to be competitive? And until we've defined what brands have in common and what they have which is distinctive, this is just an exercise in looking at the mirror and telling ourselves how beautiful we look. It's ridiculous. So that's the first thing, that there needs to be some way of being able to put the brand into a kind of context and to put it up against brands where, frankly, the brand feels quite inferior. And what you usually find the case is that it might be that you're lucky enough to have done the brand character of Apple or Nike or Virgin, but mostly you are dealing with a second or third order brand which isn't that special, which doesn't feel that confident. And so actually it's quite dishonest to simply, without being critical, appropriate to oneself values which are generic to the category and to what one aspires to, if actually they are either belong to the entire category or they belong to the posh end of the category and you'd like a piece of that, but you're not actually sure if you're good enough to get it. So that's the first thing. We need to have brand values which are specific to the brand itself, which make it different. I don't mind if they're ones which enable it to trade, which it shares with others a bit, but then we need to be honest about that. The second is really about conflict. We're petrified of conflict. Whereas the whole point about marketing, whose vocabulary was taken from the Second World War and the idea of artillery and competition and controlling tracts of land and so on, the whole language of marketing is about conflict. But when we look at brands, there's no conflict involved at all, because we look at our precious brand by itself and we treat it as being static, perfect in its own right, and then off we take it. Now, I understand if you're trying to develop advertising with a handful of qualities and you want to repeat that message over and over again until 90% of the population have got it and keep getting it because you increase the frequency of doing it, then I can understand why you would set out to do that. But in an environment where brands are in competition not only with other brands but with entertainment, stuff, things which interest me more because they're part of my life and not part of my marketer's life, it's absurd not to put conflict in there and to see how a brand shapes up when either it's challenged because it sounds pretentious or prissy or weak. How do we put a brand under pressure and find out what it's really made of? Because when we go and watch films, when we watch a TV drama, that's what we do. We sit down to find out what a character is made of, and we expect the narrative to knock spots off them until we can see where they're going. That seems to me to be a much better way of thinking about how a brand either is or could be, because we put it through a workout. And that really, in a nutshell, is why I think the idea of a screenplay is a great way of working. Because a screenplay, particularly the formularized screenplay methods which are used to write Hollywood movies, are a perfect workout. I'm not going to go into that detail in this podcast, but all I'm saying is, if you're doing brand work, I think you should think about those brands and that those qualities which are specific to the brand compared with the generic. And I think you should think about conflict and find a creative way to bring conflict in, because that's real life. And also, it's a much more creative and useful way of developing a real brand than taking it away from real life with your bunch of friendly brand scientists and try in a lab to create something perfect which will survive the first sound of battle. Anyway, that's me talking about the weaknesses I saw in brands and how I started to turn to screenplays as a way of resolving that. I hope you find that interesting. By all means, email me or put comments just to get a discussion going, because I don't see that many places where these kind of things have been discussed, and I'd love to have some more discussion about them. Anyway, that's me for now, and thanks for listening.